Today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 21 to 39. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsion, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her, and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the town nearby, so that I may preach there also." And that is what I came for. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And so in this passage here in Mark chapter 1, there's several things I want to notice from this gospel here. And we see Jesus here showing up to the synagogue on a Sabbath, and he begins to teach, and he's confronted by a man possessed. And then after that we see Jesus go to the house of Peter and heal his mother-in-law. And then after that we see Jesus finding a secluded place for him to be able to pray there. So there's almost like three moments within just these verses. So there's a lot happening. And I like this part here, from how they went from the synagogue into the home of Peter, his mother-in-law. And I think for me, sometimes what I appreciate about this chapter is the continuing work of Jesus from the synagogue to then the house. And I think there's something beautiful about that, that sometimes I think we want to limit the work of God to just happening in church, that we forget that he's also more than welcome and invited to come into our homes as well. And so there's this change of scenery from the synagogue to the house. And I would probably just say for us is now from church to the house. And the work of the kingdom of God is not limited to just church or even a particular day on Sunday. That Jesus left from the synagogue and went to Simon's house. And our encounters and our experiences with God is not just limited to just Sunday, I would say. And I think it would be a very sad reality if the only time you experience God in your life or you see him work in your life is when you're at church on a Sunday, or when you're at retreat, or you're at these church designated events and that's the only time you experience the work of God in your life, because I believe that Jesus wants to do more than that in our lives, that he wants to come into our homes as well. And we see that with the next, where we then get to, it says that immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And so this is a house of Simon and Andrew. Obviously, Peter and Andrew are our brothers. So there seems to be some kind of communal living, or Peter's or Simon's mother-in-law happened to be there because she's sick, or they're taking care of her. But we see that Peter's mother-in-law is sick at the moment. And so after, you can imagine this kind of like, oh, it's church. I don't know what the conversation is between Jesus and the disciples, where they're just hanging out after church and they're wondering, oh, what should we do? Oh, what are you guys doing today? What plans do you have? And they're like, oh, let's just go to Peter's house type of thing. I don't know the how that's happening, but that's how they end up. They end up at Peter's house. And I think there's something beautiful about that, that when the people that you are doing your spiritual life, you could say, with, then are also the people that you're doing life with together, that they're not just, that we don't compartmentalize the lives that we have or the friendships that we have and just say, oh, these are my church friends and these are my outside friends. So I'll hang out with my church friends during church times or church-related events and so forth. But here they all, after the synagogue, they all go to Simon and Andrew's house. And I like this because it says that Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And it says that immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And I think after seeing, I think there's something here that in terms of what the disciples are experiencing, they're seeing Jesus do amazing and wonderful things. So I think the approachability for them, it's almost just a natural response to just say, hey, Jesus is here. Why don't we have him pray for our mother-in-law type of thing? And I think there's something beautiful about that, that when you begin to see God work in your life, or you're around God working in the life of others, you take on a faith either by a byproduct of others or because of your own experience with God. What I mean by that is if you've prayed for someone for healing, or you prayed for someone for breakthrough, or you've been praying things for your life and you see a breakthrough happen, you're more encouraged to pray. Also, at the same time, if you're with friends and you're with people that are seeking the kingdom of God in their life, and you're seeing God answer their prayers, you're encouraged by God answering their prayers to pray even more. You're like, wow, if God is doing that for them, I'm sure he can do the same thing for me. And so the disciples here have been seeing Jesus do amazing things. So their reaction is almost just like, well, if Jesus is doing this, he just cast out a demon of someone just possessed and he's been healing people. It says that they spoke to Jesus about the situation. Essentially, they went to Jesus and said, and explained to her what the situation was. They spoke to Jesus about her, and it says that he came to her and raised her up. And I think there's something beautiful about that, that sometimes the temptation in our lives is to isolate ourselves and to not want to share. You know, like, I think sometimes we may maybe over-minimize what we're going through. I think if I'm going through this, I'm probably thinking, have you guys ever just encountered where, you know, in a prayer circle, they're like, oh, it's just, I have a headache. It's nothing. It's almost like, I don't want to bother God with my headache type of thing. Or someone just shares this deep prayer need that they have. And then they're like, oh, I just wanted prayer for work. But compared to that, I don't know if I want to bring that to God. And you'd almost say, like, they just saw Jesus do amazing and wonderful things. And they're like, do we really want to bother Jesus about a fever? No, it didn't really matter. They bothered Jesus and they spoke to him about the matter. And I think that's something that we can take away within our lives, that whatever the prayer need is in our life, whether big or small, and we shouldn't compare it to others, we should bring those things to Jesus. And I like how it says that they spoke to Jesus about her. And I think that's something that we can do in our lives, that we could talk to Jesus about the things that we have going on in our lives. And I like how this is happening in community as well, that this is happening with Peter and Andrew, the two brothers, and with James and John as well. And then after this, it says that she was healed and that she began to serve as well. And then lastly, the last point, it says that others began to gather at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And I like that part, two points. And the whole city gathered at the door. And essentially, they found out that Jesus was there and he healed someone. And I think that's an amazing thing of, what if people begin to recognize the presence and the work of God in your home? That they're like, there's something about this home. Let's go to that house, because there's something about this house in terms of what God is doing and in terms of God is working, that others will want to gather in that place. And I think that's a beautiful picture, because it's not just about, oh, let me bring people to church, but no, let me just, wherever I am or wherever I go or in our homes, it's a place for people to encounter Jesus. And then the last point, it says, in the early morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And I think there's always this thing where Jesus, after a moment of ministry, he always secludes himself for a time of prayer, for a time to be with God the Father. And I think very often, I think if we practice this spiritual discipline that Jesus had of solitude, I think most of the time we may get the solitude right, but we don't get the next part, which was he secluded himself and he prayed there. I think many times we're more okay with the solitude part, but the praying part. And so as we go into a time of worship, do we have worship or are we on Spotify? Ooh, live worship? Wow. We got live worship. And so as we meditate on this passage, I just want to meditate on that when Jesus invades our homes, that Peter had been with Jesus doing healing at the synagogue and in the towns, and he brings Jesus to his home in a time of need. And I think that when we invite Jesus into our everyday lives, extraordinary things begin to happen. I think that for me is probably the main takeaway, that when we invite Jesus into our everyday lives, extraordinary things begin to happen. And so, Father, as we go into this time of worship, yeah, we just invite you into our daily lives, that we would just stop putting you in a box of you only work and move at church, that you only work and move at retreat, that you only work and move through the pastor or special guest speakers. No, that it's not even about the place or the people, but it's about you invading our lives. And so, Jesus, we just say, invade every part of our lives. Come and enter into our homes and let there be healing. Come and enter into our workplaces and let there be healing. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. I need you. I will love you, Lord, my strength. You're my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Forever, all my days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God, you reign forever, all my days. Hallelujah, all my days. Hallelujah, forever all my days. Lord, we worship you.
All right. Why don't we come to the front as we go into a time of community prayer?